Chapter 9. Living Life by Design, Not Default. I successfully ticked my box of being married by the time I was 30. We were settled at Rosegarth Cottage, a stunning two-up, two-down property dating back to the 1800s, with a postcard presence, delightful garden and pebbled pathway. We had great friends and I thoroughly enjoyed the work that I was doing. We really were living our best lives. Our beautiful rural home was set in a stunning village called North Dalton, in the heart of Yorkshire, with a pub, a pond, a church, cricket grounds, and stunning farmland within walking distance of our home. It wasn't long before we decided to have children. We were extremely blessed to have conceived our first child straight away. Arthur was born in August 2002. He was such a delight and did exactly what the books say. He slept 6 hours at 6 weeks, 8 hours at 8 weeks, and 12 hours at 12 weeks. He developed and grew in line with all the charts and recommendations too. My life up until this point had been all about me. I had always been a dreamer, a planner, creating the life I wanted. I had a great life with all I wanted and more. Before I went on maternity leave, I had done my due diligence and found this gorgeous daycare that Arthur could go to after a year's maternity leave. With both of us working full-time, we would be able to buy a bigger home, travel back to New Zealand to visit family, and do more with our children. Except after having this beautiful baby boy, I couldn't find peace in my heart to go back to work and pay someone else almost all my wages to bring him up. It seemed crazy to me. My husband was outstanding and said, "Don't go back to work, I've got this." And he had. Between us, we made it work. I had been building my savings pot while I was at work, so this helped to bridge the gap. We decided to sell Rosegarth and buy a bigger home. I sold my flat in Bedford, and this paid for most of our renovations, which included a gutting and a full replacing of all the wiring, fixtures, and fittings. As the property was not livable during this time, we rented another one around the corner. Alexander used to take Arthur for a walk through the village most days to see the progress and project manage the work. We decided to try again when Arthur was about 12 months, as we thought a 2 to 2.5 year gap would be ideal. Once again, conception was immediate, and Martha was born in April 2004. She had her own charts and plans, not sleeping through until 15 months. Her big blue eyes and cheeky smile had me wrapped around her little finger from day one. I had been blessed with 2 gorgeous children by the time I was 35, and to this day, I would do anything for them. There were half a dozen mums in the village, all with babies and toddlers around the same age. We started up a mums and tots group, a music group, fundraised and built a children's playground for the village. This was such a blessing and such a beautiful time. Alexander enjoyed his cricket and all was well. This was one of my richest times in life. I was living literally my dream. I honestly believed life couldn't get better. For the first time in my life, I fit together with people around me. We had a common purpose. I believe we wanted the best for our marriages, our children, and to make our homes real homes. This season was all about playing to our strengths, valuing our differences, and the part each one of us played to the whole. One of the mums in the village, Amy, had the most incredible gift of hospitality. She made chutneys, jams, and fabulous food, bringing people together. She was also a key part of the development of the playground. Another one, Heather, made the best cakes ever. She was a true farmer's wife and looked after all those in her care. Lynn and Kim were both super creative. I have always been in awe of their creations and homes. They always hosted the best parties for adults and kids. I was an organiser, bringing people together and encouraging connection. It was such a joy to catch up every week in each other's homes, to share, to be present, to live, to laugh and love together. I had fallen in love with New Zealand when we first visited. My plan was to have our children in the UK, where I would have the support of my family, and then emigrate before they started school. I foolishly thought this would be a time of connection with Mum. that she would want to be involved with her grandchildren. We discussed the logistics of living in New Zealand, and despite my family's flaws, I knew the clincher for me would be whether I could do Christmas away from my family. Funny, as every Christmas was a mission. There was always tension and usually a difference of opinion. Yet it was the one time I got to be with those closest to my heart, those that really mattered in my life. We booked the tickets to go and do Christmas with Alexander's family. Arthur was 16 months and I was 5 months pregnant with Martha. I distinctly remember having to crawl through a row of seats or behind a row of seats on a plane to get Arthur, who had walked through to the other side. He thought it was hilarious. Christmas in the summer was gold. Everyone brought a plate. The family all chipped in. People ate when they were ready, and everyone got on. I was in. I remember having a few tears when I spoke to my dad that day. However, this was the way to celebrate Christmas. We flew back to the UK. We left Auckland Airport in New Zealand at 26 degrees and arrived back at Leeds Bradford Airport in the UK at 2 degrees. The snow was turning to grey, black sludge. Dad picked us up from the airport and dropped us home. We had left the oil heating running while we were away so the builder could boil a kettle on the Aga and stay warm. The oil tank ran out 3 days before our return home, so the house was freezing, and we had no way of heating it or boiling a kettle. We both looked at each other and asked, "What are we doing here?" Reflect and reframe. I have always been a woman on a mission, and to be fair, one driven by my heart and connection. I love to live life by design. I was driven by love. Love for my children, love for my home, love for the people around me. However, the old, not good enough, and performance culture were still hanging around in the background, driving me to compare and compete. While I was working in my gifting and was extremely happy with the life I had, there was still an emptiness. I lived my life to the full. I didn't end up going back to the team of beautiful people I loved at Racing Green. I did put my family first, which was exactly the right order. I was at peace with making that decision, and that is one of the keys to happiness, to make decisions from a place of rest, not in the heat of the moment or when under pressure. It is so important to think things through. So many people let life happen to them. Because of the vision I have and the future I create, I am a big believer in that life happens for me and actually because of me, not to me. I live every day future present, which is how I believe the most successful people live. I believe 95% of the population lives past present. So if you want to live life by design and be on the top, you know, with those top 10%ers of the population, come and join us on the journey of discovery and adventure we call life. And if you want to hang out with some really cool top 5 and 10%ers, come and join us at www.inspiringperspectives.co.nz and get connected. We'd love to see you there. Dear reader, back in chapter 3, we looked at dreaming big. It's now time to dig deep and really consider what life would look like, feel like, and be like if you were there right now. This is part of a process I coach. Just as we have done here, we have cleared most of the lies or limiting beliefs using some of the tools and systems to enable the great exchange. Now is the time to start to look ahead and live future present. Like that life that you've always wanted, full of goodness, full of love, full of joy, full of peace, that is ours if we choose it. I'd love you to go on a deeper journey of your dreaming big so you can make it a reality for you. Here are my 5 habits to help make the dream become a reality. Fast 5 tips. Add inspiration to your bullet points. To be inspired is to be living your dreams, to be aligned with your own inner values and loves, living true to your heart. Think about the intrinsic motivation. What is it that really fires you up from the inside? What do you get heated about? Number two, add good, uplifting emotions to your bullet points. Emotions are energy for motion. As your life will tell you, good emotions lift you up and move you forward, while bad emotions take you down and make you withdraw. So add in all those real fire starter emotions. Three, write your vision as if you've already achieved it. Write it as if you are looking back, celebrating it, as if it has been done. For example, wow, what an amazing year I have had. My book was published and I have sold more copies than I thought possible. Believers have loved it and passed it on to their friends. It has been a real joy to get so many messages around how the chapters spoke into people's lives and have brought healing. Number four, put a date on it by when you think you are going to achieve it. Number five, just do it. Have fun with this process. It will probably be one of the most challenging things you will do and one of the most rewarding. It's time for you to literally start to believe in your brilliance and your place in this world. Call to adventure, my vision, hope, and a future. This inner game work will manifest until you be, do, have all that you have written. In the words of Tony Robbins, it's what you practice in private that will be rewarded for in public. Lynette Breen, life coach and very good friend, introduced me to this acronym, SMERTY: specific, measurable, evidence-based, responsible, timeline, and inspiring, and emotions, which is the best structure I have seen to help you, your dreams become a reality. It is a more structured approach to my Fast Five listed above. And it is a massive upgrade on the traditional SMART goals system that is now commonly used. The first three of the seven parts are inextricably linked. The first is specific. Things have to be an event or a number. It has to be specific, something tangible. So many people live in fear of this. Are they afraid of failing or failing to achieve it? And their past experience will often show them that. However, we're not interested in the past. We're writing your future. And if we aim for the moon, we will often reach for the stars. And if we don't do that, we don't go anywhere. The next stage is measurable. We have to have the steps to take towards the specific goal or event. I often find that the more we chunk these steps down into smaller pieces, the more confidence we gain along the way, but it also allows us to track our progress. And then evidence. So these are the three: specific, measurable, and then evidence. Evidence is the tracking and ticking off of each step along the way, showing we are making progress. And I encourage you to celebrate every step. It's all going in the right direction. And now the fun starts. Responsibility. It is all about leaving the keys to happiness in your hands. While most of our lives are lived in conjunction with others, this is about taking ownership for your part and stewarding it well. For example, I can say, I love going out for dinner with my husband because I'm taking responsibility for my part and I love it. I'm not able to say we love going out for dinner because actually I can't speak for my husband. I'm only responsible for myself. So when we write these goals, write them from your perspective and your responsibility. Include others, but don't speak for them. Timeline. It's a powerful force. It tells our subconscious you are serious about making it happen. And it drives you, especially as you get nearer that timeline. You know what it's like. If you have to be somewhere at a certain time, you know you'll get there. If you have to be at a driving test at a certain time, you'll be there. If you have to sit an exam at a certain time, you'll be there. If the family's gathering for Christmas, you'll be there. So timeline is really important. The next one is inspiring. Inspiration is gold for me. It's what fires me up from the inside out into the world. For you, it's your driving force. It's your true why, your intrinsic motivation. It will keep you being persistent, insistent, and consistent throughout. It'll keep you going. When things get tough, it'll be the one thing that keeps you moving forward. It is so key to know who you are, why you're here, and what it's for, because it fires you and keeps you going. And to add to that is emotions. Emotions drive real motion. E is for energy, M is for motion. It's energy for motion. Adding those positive, uplifting emotions give your vision a double portion of motivation, focus, and drive. Note, when you are putting your future into writing, you look ahead to what you would love to happen and write it down as if it's actually happened. When I coach people in this space, the timeline is often a year from now. And I love how most people achieve it sooner or achieve more than they set out to do, even though this is already way out of what they thought was possible. This is so much fun, and it really helps grow the all things are possible muscle. I encourage you to record it and listen to it every day for the next 63 days. And guess what? You will be there before you know it. Many of my clients love creating visual images of this too. So feel free to create a vision board or collage to represent all these wonderful things you are going to do and achieve in this coming season. Enjoy. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But the one who keeps the law, blessed is he. Proverbs 29:18, NIV.